do shed. That's just something that they do. Your cat does shed.
It sheds a lot.
A lot.
I love that name, baby.
Another fruit that a lot of people don't know about. Yep. You can grow nectarines here. It's mostly picking the right nectarines.
What you got, Edward Cup? You got Edward Jones cup.
Yeah, I do.
You ain't got no money.
That's what my wife says.
Good morning, Northwest Arkansas and everybody in America. My name is Mark.
And I'm Josiah, and you're watching or listening to Two Nuts on a Tree. We are so excited to have you all today because
we got a good show.
We do have a good show. We're going to be talking all about fruit trees and pollination.
Yeah.
And that's really usually a tricky one for most people coming up here to the nursery.
Yep.
Because you don't want to end up buying some fruit trees and then never get fruit off of them, wondering why aren't they producing 7 years later.
Right. And they want to know what it tastes like, too.
Yeah.
You know, what pollinates what? What does it taste like? And, you know, yeah.
Awesome. Well, why don't we jump into time to apply? Time to apply. These are things you should be applying to your landscape or garden right now. Our first one that we've got, a common thing we're having problems with, is holes on your hostas. That's a snail. Time to apply snail and a slug and snail bait by Fertilum. This is an awesome product. You can sprinkle this around your flower beds or around your home. This is going to get rid of those pesky slugs and snails that are leaving holes
and
all through
organic.
Your plant material.
That's organic.
This is a great product. Mm-hmm. Easy to use. It's like a big salt shaker.
Did I mention it's organic?
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, it is organic.
It works.
Also,
good.
Time to apply CritterGo by Fertilome. As much as you love your beautiful plants out in your landscape, so do the deer and the rabbits. So make sure you're applying CritterGo by Fertilome. They've got this awesome thing here I do want to show you if I don't throw everything over.
Discount.
If it's got a dent in it, yeah. Hey, this is an awesome thing. It's a battery powered sprayer. You put a couple AA batteries and take off with spraying. There's no mixing this, so you don't have to worry about getting all that stinky stuff on you. You ain't got to worry about that. But has battery pump sprayer. You don't have
to pump your hand
it or
out.
Anything. Yeah, exactly. And you can put a perimeter around the areas you want to keep the deer and the rabbit and quite a few other animals out as well.
You know what's cool about that? People will buy trees and they don't understand that as soon as you put in that tree, mm-hmm. deer always look for what's new in that landscape.
Absolutely.
So, you know, why buy a $100, $200, $300 tree and have a deer come by and scrape it up?
Yeah.
Use that and change their habit. They'll go in the neighbor's yard.
Also, time to apply if you've got all of your beautiful bedding plants in, or roses, your beautiful flowers. This is a water-soluble...
Plant food.
This is Blooming and Rooting by Fertilome. This is high in phosphorus, so you're going to get all of those beautiful blooms out of your plants if you're really wanting them to strive. It's got a measuring cup in here. I just take one of those, plop it in the watering can, fill it up with water. And you're going to use this as a foliar feeding, or you can use it to water in your plants.
I think it's like a tablespoon per gallon.
I call this blue crack.
It's
because
true.
It is like crack for your flowers. It's just amazing.
Well, speaking of crack, I like this Osmocote Plus. This right here lasts for 6 months. It's a granular, so if you don't want to use the water fertilizer, you just use this Osmocote Plus. The reason why it's called Plus is because it has like 11 other essential nutrients. It has all your macronutrient, your micro, and all your trace elements.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, it has iron, 6% sulfur, which lets everything else be productive. And I really like this. Lasts for 6 months instead of 3 months.
Oh.
So a quality nursery should carry this, the Osmocote Plus.
Yeah, that's a great one because it'll just keep on going and the love keeps going for your plants.
Good for the lazy man.
Also, right behind me, I've got the Espoma. I'm going to say that correctly this time. Espoma. This is organic weed preventer. This is an organic pre-emergent. What's awesome about this is you can use this in your flower beds, you can use it in your lawns, and you hear us talking about those ones quite a bit, but you can use this around your garden as well because it's organic, it's going to take care of things, going to stop those weed seeds from germinating, and your life is going to be really pretty and joyful.
Yeah, corn gluten is a part of the corn seed that they extract out.
Mm.
And the nice thing about that, not only does it keep your weed seed from germinating in your vegetable garden, I use it mainly in my vegetable garden to keep the weeds out. It adds 9% nitrogen.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Ooh. I love that product.
Get some really good growth out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
That's the only organic weed preventer that I know about. What else you got?
It's not gluten-free.
No. That's good.
Okay. Well, that concludes Time to Apply.
All right. My vegetable garden is not gluten-free.
No.
Drinking out of Edward Jones cup.
Yeah,
that's Edward Jones. That's an oxymoron if ever I saw it.
Well, I was told if you want to have money, you got to act like you have money. I'm pretty broke. No.
Got my cup.
That's funny.
Goodwill.
Hey, we've also got the comment section. The comment section. If you are new to the show and this is your first time listening or watching, the comment section is actually brought to you by you because you can go down in the comments down in the comment section and we answer those questions or comments here on the show.
Yeah,
or you could go to, and I'm going to say it right, our producer corrected me on this. Apparently, I've been saying it wrong for a long time. You can go to RockwellFarmsNursery.com and you can email us.
Yeah, people been commenting at some other nursery in North Carolina.
Yeah.
They called me and said, hey, mind your own business.
Wrong place, yeah. So RockwellFarmsNursery.com and you can also email us there and we get those questions and we answer them on the show. And so that helps other gardeners. So
that Rockwell Farms Nursery in South Carolina said, y'all mind your own business. We've seen your show.
We can't answer any more questions.
We've seen your show, and we want nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Okay, our first one's from Kyle. Kyle says, I enjoy listening to the show. I have been using Weed Out in my lawn for years, but recently heard about using a surfactant for better results.
Oh, spreader sticker.
What are your thoughts and what should I use? And then he's also got, have a hard time seeing where I've sprayed. Is there anything I can use to see where I've sprayed? Thanks for the show, Kyle. Thank you, Kyle. Yeah, you're right. Spreader sticker. So
that's a non-ionic spreader sticker, which is very important because non-ionic means that it does not have a charge and a lot of spreader stickers will burn, okay, and this one won't. And this is really good. I use this with any insecticide or especially herbicides and fungicide. I use it on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it's called spreader sticker is because most of your grass, take grass for instance, it has a glass, a waxy film on it, and therefore the product will not coagulate on top of that
sure.
leaf.
Yeah.
Or on top of the blade. What this does, it sticks it and spreads it all on that blade, and it kills it.
That's awesome.
And if there's a rain coming, it's more likely to stay past the rain.
That's
harder
great.
To wash off.
That's an important thing, yeah, because we've been having a lot of rain here lately.
You only use like a teaspoon.
When do you spray? Yeah.
Teaspoon per gallon.
And then you just mix that with your product. Okay, yeah, and the other thing, it's called Market Blue. This product right here, this is great. Because if you're going through and you're spraying your whole entire yard trying to kill the weeds, you can mix this in with your spray, and this will mark it a blue tinge so you can see where you've sprayed. So that way you're not going over something, you know, three or four times when you're going through your yard.
Yeah, my experience with this is use a lot less than what they say. They say use 1 fluid ounce per gallon. Shoot. Use about a fourth of that. Use half a tablespoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have a Smurf yard.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
And keep it off your fingers. You'll
That's
have
great.
Blue hands for a long time. I just told people at church it's disease.
You got a prayer group going for you. Still.
I did, man. Oxygen. All right, go ahead.
Okay, this next one is from Sharon. Hi, I have two magnolias that I planted a year ago, and after this winter, they're both both got brown leaves and started dropping them. They've been shedding quite a bit. Not all of them, but quite a bit.
Yes.
They do have some new growth on them. Should I be concerned, and what can I do to help? Thank you guys so much. So, okay, this what's crazy is I just was out at a customer's house the other day. Same issue.
Enlighten us.
Yeah. So what's happening is there is typically, so your let me start here. Magnolias here in our area, they are an evergreen, but they're also considered a semi-evergreen. Okay. So what that means is if we get a really hard winter, especially on younger trees, on newly planted or younger magnolias, through that first or second winter, you can see some pretty heavy shedding. What happens is maybe they get a little bit of winter desiccation in parts of the leaves, and then the tree wants to put out new leaves. The tree wants to put out new leaves, and so it will drop some of those older or damaged leaves so that way it can flush back out a lot easier.
Right.
Okay.
And variety has a lot to do with that, too. D.D. Blanchard is more popular down south.
Yeah.
I mean, we're marginal for D.D. Blanchard. Right here, Bracken's Brown is a cold, hardy magnolia.
Bracken's Brown and Little Gem Magnolia.
Right. And it'll still lose its leaves some. Okay, like you said, semi-deciduous. But overall, it's just fine. Especially if you get a lot of water.
And we've had a lot of water as well.
This winter.
And so another thing that I'd like to point out is that the magnolias, they do shed. That's just something that they do. Your cat does shed.
It sheds a lot.
A lot. Goodness. Rather than dropping all of its leaves in fall, like most trees, your magnolias will just kind of shed throughout the entire year, just dropping some old leaves or damaged leaves. And it's just something that it does. But the important part is you said that you have new growth. Now, something you can do to help. I highly recommend using the Has to Grow plant food for this because this is a foliar feeding that you can do. Super easy. You hook it up to your hose. You spray your trees. You're going to want to do this 3 times 1 week apart. So what that looks like is you're going to spray your tree just to where it's kind of dripping wet. Mm-hmm. You don't want to water it in, but just spray it to where it's just kind of dripping wet. You're going to wait 7 to 14 days, and then you're going to spray again. Wait 7 to 14 days, and then your third time.
I went out to a church a time ago, and they had this big, big, big Colorado blue spruce. Mm-hmm. It must have been 25, 30 foot tall, and so they wanted to save it. And it had needle blight on it, so we treated that. And then I went back, and I used this I use this Has to Grow the next day.
Yeah.
Because the Has to Grow works as an accelerant.
Mm.
Okay. So it was a systemic fungicide that we used on it. And I sprayed it with the Has to Grow. I used the whole bottle, actually. That sucker came back like you wouldn't believe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
They thought it was a miracle.
It is a miracle. That's why I like it.
Yeah.
We're going to need drum roll for our plant of the week, though. Da 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 da.
Yeah, we go.
Awesome. Hey, our plant of the week is Buddleia. How would you pronounce it?
Buddleia.
Buddleia?
Buddleia.
Buddleia?
Yeah. Buddleia.
Buddleia?
It's not Buddleia.
It's a butterfly bush.
It's Buddleia.
Whatever. Who cares?
Butt in your eye. In your eye. That's what it sounds like.
Awesome. Right behind me, this, I thought it was so beautiful. I was going back there looking for a beautiful plant to talk about this week. This is your Lo and Behold Ruby Chip. It's kind of this ruby purple color. Mm-hmm.
This kind of medium, isn't it? It's not the Pugster variety,
Pugster variety. So this is going to look a lot more like your old-fashioned butterfly bush.
A little smaller.
But it's going to be smaller in the regards. It's only going to get about 2.5 feet tall and wide.
Man, that's small.
So makes a great border plant. Nice little mound of purple flowers.
Like a 3x3?
Essentially. Now, this is going to attract the butterflies, of course. Now, usually when these are in full bloom, they're in the back. Every summer, it's like a fairy tale walking back there, and all these little white and blue and monarch butterflies just all over the place.
Well, you know, here at the nursery where we have all those butterflies, it'll be covered during the summertime. You notice that?
Yes. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's
people
what I'm
say,
about.
Do you have butterfly bushes? I say,
right over there. Butterfly. Look for the butterflies. You'll find them.
You'll find them.
Awesome. And then we've also got the court. I also want to talk about court because we got all of our court proven winter shrubs in. And the difference is, I mean, yes, you're starting with the smaller shrub, but this will look like this maybe at the end of June.
Right.
I mean, it just the amount of growth that you get out of those.
Well, what we do, what we don't sell the course, we put in this 2 gallon.
Yeah.
And then we sell it in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to save money, now's the time to get the course.
Yes. Now, now, your butterfly bush, this is really good at being drought tolerant, a low maintenance shrub. So if you have an area in your yard, it's harder to reach the hose out to. This would be a great one for that. Now, it is going to need water until you get it established.
Yeah, but you can't kill it.
But it's one that it's, yeah, it's pretty hard to kill. Once it gets established, it's super
stinking happy. Don't we have like a prize or something if someone kills one of these? Like
yeah. Yeah, we'll replace it. butterfly bush. Yeah, it's a great way to get some beautiful color in your garden. It's going to bloom from spring up until autumn.
All right.
Yeah.
Fruit trees.
There we go. All right. That concludes our plant of the week.
All right. I kind of want to keep us on track this week.
Okay. Yes, please.
Sometimes, you know, it's like a squirrel going off into the woods.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I made a list of some of the trees that are most popular. You see, Arkansas, where we are, we're in Zone 6A. So out there in America, you might be a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to select those varieties that are kind of a wide range going throughout the United States.
Sure.
Okay? So I kind of want to – sorry I put it in alphabetical order.
Okay.
But, let's start with Arkansas Black.
Okay. So we're going to be starting with apples here, Arkansas Black.
Yeah.
Tell me about Arkansas Black.
Well, I mean, Arkansas Black was found in the early 1900s. I'm really glad they did because during that time, there was no apple that had long storage. Okay.
Mm, yeah.
They'd rot out too quick. And the Arkansas Black, you could store that sucker for a long time. And back then, you know, we're talking about depression time. A lot of people didn't have refrigerators and all that.
Right. Sure.
Arkansas Black lasts for a long time. So, that's where it got its name to fame is its storage life. It's sweet, and it's a very nice round apple. Okay,
yeah.
So it's kind of a medium sized apple, and yeah, that's how it got started. And people grow that throughout the entire country.
Now I heard that Arkansas Black was one of the apples that helped in this area.
In the Depression time?
Or the Great Depression.
Exactly.
What also affected them as much as the Great Depression was disease coming through their apple trees. So Arkansas Black
was
more
disease resistant. You are correct.
Resistant.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. And, but the bad thing about Arkansas Black is that it's not a pollinator.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the most selfish apples.
I know.
Okay?
It does really, really great, right. Performs well, but yeah, not very nice to others.
Yeah, screw the other varieties, you know? So other varieties will pollinate the Arkansas Black, like Fuji.
Yes.
Okay? Now, I don't know which one came first, Fuji or Gala, but mm-hmm. Fuji, when it came out, it was like, wow, it was real sweet, okay? It's kind of a smaller apple, but it's a real sweet apple.
Now, when I think of Fuji and Gala, though, I think of them almost like the same apple to
too.
Me, in my opinion.
I do, too. I don't know which one came first, but who cares?
They're pretty similar.
Yeah,
okay.
Now, Fuji, across the board, it pollinates a bunch of other ones,
mm-hmm.
okay? One of the highlights is it'll pollinate the Granny Smith, Honey Gold, Jonathan, Red Rome, your Stamen, and your Wine Sap. Okay.
Gotcha.
Now, let me touch on the stamen and wine sap real quick, or we can talk about it later. But those are kind of hard and tart, your stamen and your wine sap.
Hard and tart.
And a lot of people think they're the same apple, but they're not.
Okay.
Also, but along those lines, your Yellow Delicious and your Golden Delicious, that's the same apple with different tag.
That's what I've always kind of thought. I've never seen a difference or taste difference between your Yellow or Golden Delicious.
You're exactly right.
And why is that? Why can't they just compile it into one?
I think a long time ago, this grower ran out of tags.
That's funny.
So, you know, he called Boudreaux and said, "Hi, I'm out of Yellow Delicious tags. You got any tags?" He says, "Yeah, I got Golden Delicious." So he started using the Golden Delicious.
Okay. I've never seen the difference in between the trees, the leaves, the fruit, the taste.
Yep. It was a Boudreaux problem.
Okay. It's good to know.
Now, Gala is a little different than Fuji. It'll pollinate Arkansas Black, but not as good as Fuji. Okay. So Gale is a good pollinator. The main ones is Honeycrisp, Red Delicious, Red Rome, and Stamen.
Now, in your apples, mostly you would recommend that you should have two different varieties.
Yeah.
With the same bloom time.
Exactly. And, you know, if you have three, that's
even
really,
better.
That's really
even
the best scenario. Because even though I'm rattling off, like I just said, Gala does really good on Honeycrisp, Red Delicious, Red Rome, and Stamen.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also pollinate your Oxall Black, Fuji, Granny Smith, Jonathan, and Winesap.
Right.
But it's not as well.
Right.
Am I making sense?
Yes, it does make perfect sense. I would say it's because for the nurseries out there, it's not an upsell hack if the nurseries tell you at least get two or more.
Right.
It's not
they're trying
to upsell you and push more trees on you. It's because your trees have to have a pollinator to pollinate most all of them.
In my opinion, if you have the Fuji, your yellow golden delicious, okay, and your Red Delicious. If you have those three, I can't think of a tree, another apple tree that won't be pollinated.
I would agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Granny Smith.
I might throw Granny Smith in there, too. Those four.
Granny Smith, Gala, Red or Yellow Delicious.
Right.
I think those four, you should have one of those, in my opinion, in any orchard.
Right.
Every orchard or homegrown.
And I'm glad you said that because your Red Delicious and the Yellow Golden Delicious.
Uh-huh.
Those pollinate the same trees the same way.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
just different color, taste, and fruit.
The only difference between the Red Delicious and Yellow Gold is the Red Delicious is harder.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think it's more sweet?
You know,
Yellow Gold is more pithy.
I've always loved Red Delicious apples.
Yeah,
they've always been a favorite of mine. So I would say probably they're a little bit more sweet than the Yellow Delicious.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Yellow Delicious is softer. So those people that have, you know, bad teeth.
That is true.
Yellow Delicious be your...
Yeah, thing. If you have it.
But those three, you know, you can group Yellow Delicious and Red Delicious together. Gala and Granny Smith. And and you'd have a good variety of fruit, too.
Goodness, yes.
Right?
Goodness,
your Gala's real sweet.
Yeah.
And your Granny Smith is it's tart.
Now,
Granny
as
Smith
far
pies,
as
baby.
Easiest ones to grow, I would probably also say that those are really easy ones
really
to grow.
Easy. Yeah. So... In all honesty, if you're starting an apple orchard, start off with those three.
Yeah. Those four.
I mean, I just thought of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can interchange Golden Delicious or Red Delicious. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start off with those three, I can't think of a tree that will not be pollinated by those three.
No, you'll have you'll have a really happy start. If you're starting out an orchard or home growing, I would totally agree with you. You'll start off really happy doing those three.
Mm-hmm. Then your Honeycrisp. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
It has a long range of pollination, but the ones that it's really good on is Gala, your Yellow Golden Delicious, and your Red Delicious, Red Roman Stamen.
Now, it can be pollinate those and be pollinated by those?
Yes.
Okay.
Well.
To an extent.
No.
Okay.
What I'm doing is I'm telling you, let's say that you, if you really like the Gala, get a Honeycrisp because it will for sure pollinate that Gala, and you won't need any other pollinator.
Okay,
okay? If you get a, if you really like the Gala and you have a Fuji, your Fuji will pollinate that Gala, but not as well as a Honeycrisp. Am I making sense?
Yes, perfect.
Because not only do you have the compatibility of the pollen to the female flower, okay? I'm trying to keep layman terms and not use stamen and pistil.
Yeah.
So not only does the pollen have to be compatible to that female flower, but they have to bloom at the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you have two things going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what about Liberty? Liberty is kind of like your Arkansas Black, would
right,
you say?
Selfish.
Yeah. Selfish.
It
not a good
not,
pollinator.
One of them pollinate Jack.
Okay. So, when you get something that is not a good pollinator, ideally, this is what you want. If say you want the Arkansas Black, because it's such a great apple tree.
Right, and Liberty's a good one, too.
Liberty as well.
Yeah.
But if they're not a great pollinator, I would recommend, instead of having us recommending two trees, we would then recommend three trees.
Right.
And the reason being is because you have your, let's say your Arkansas Black, because he doesn't pollinate anything else,
you're then going to need a tree to pollinate your Arkansas Black. Mm-hmm. But now that other tree, that second tree, will not get pollinated, but it'll pollinate. So then if you're wanting fruit off of that, then we would recommend a third tree. So those two trees can pollinate, and they can pollinate that selfish tree as well.
Because Liberty will not pollinate a Granny Smith, but a Granny Smith will pollinate Liberty.
It's so tricky.
Yeah.
Tricky.
It's just stupid.
Yeah. Yep.
Then you got your John of Gold. That's another selfish one. John of Gold is just a sport of the Jonathan. Does not pollinate anything, but is a good apple. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So then you have your Jonathan. Jonathan's another good one. Your Jonathan, it'll pollinate your. The highlights are the Arkansas Black, Fuji, Granny Smith, Liberty, McIntosh, Stamen, and Winesap. Now, your Jonathan, that might be the fourth apple that I put in the orchard. Jonathan pollinates a lot.
Really?
Okay. I just mentioned the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And of all the apple trees, in my opinion, reason why you see a Jonathan at most farms is because it'll be pollinated by a lot of other trees, and it pollinates a lot of other trees.
Okay? And it's a beautiful apple.
It's a great pollinator. It's a beautiful apple, and it produces a lot.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That's why you see them in that Iowa farm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Can't have a farm in Iowa if you don't have a Jonathan apple tree.
Really?
Yeah, it's something in the code.
Okay. it's in the bylaws.
McIntosh, McIntosh. I don't know why they call it McIntosh. There's no A in it. That will pollinate your Liberty, and that's just about it. Yeah, another selfish apple.
Really?
And now, wow. It'll do the Arkansas Black, Granny Smith, Jonathan, Pink Lady, and Winesap, but not all that well.
Right.
But if you are in love with the Liberty, get the McIntosh. It'll really
or the Liberty.
Exactly.
Okay. McIntosh Liberty. Mm-hmm. That's good to know.
Pink Lady, that's a very good apple. It's marginal on pollinating a lot of trees. There's not one tree that's very good on pollinating, if that makes
just
sense.
I would say that's a mid-pollinator then.
Its timing does not line up with a lot of trees.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Red Delicious, we touched on that.
But I want to camp on that for a second. Mm-hmm. Pink Lady is a really, really, really good apple.
Okay, yeah.
It's a wonderful apple.
It's recommended by the University of Arkansas, Liberty and Pink Lady.
Yeah, but it's not the best at pollinating others, but it can be pollinated pretty good, couldn't it?
Pink Lady, yes.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's not a good pollinator, but it could be Honeycrisp will pollinate Pink Lady.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Red Delicious will pollinate Pink Lady.
Yeah.
All right. It's not necessarily humdinger for the Pink Lady, but it'll pollinate it. Red Delicious, we've already talked on that. That's a really good pollinator. Galo, Yellow Gold, Delicious, Honeycrisp, John Gold, Red Rome, and Stamen. That's the ones that's really good at. And can we put this on our YouTube so people can read this? Can we do that? All right, we'll do that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Stamen, selfish is all get out, and so is the wine sap. They don't pollinate anything.
Wow.
They take and they do, receive and they don't give.
Okay. Don't invite them to your party.
But I tell you what, if you want a hard apple that's kind of semi-tart,
mm-hmm.
there you go. They're hard apples.
Really? Hard, mm-hmm. crisp
yep.
apple. The Honey mm-hmm. Crisp, especially, but Stamen, a lot of people think the Stamen and wine sap. The
same apple?
Same apple.
They're not.
And then we also see some tags sometimes that says Stamen wine sap.
Just like you see Yellow and Golden Delicious.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of those side things.
Right. Okay. Because you'll find that, what apple was it? You'll have some apples that will, like Fuji. Let me think. It was in here somewhere. Some apple, like your Honey Crisp. No, it does both. Some apples will pollinate one, but not the other. Like McIntosh will pollinate the wine sap, but it won't pollinate the stamen.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand this fine hairs.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
So I will agree with you. You might as well consider them the same.
Okay.
You can eat one, and it'll taste either like wine sap or stamen. You can't tell the difference.
Pretty much the same, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, what do you want to go to next?
Why don't we get to apricots? Apricots is something that people don't believe we can grow here, but we can. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some really successful trees. One of the ones that I want to bring up is the gold cot
apricot.
That's very good for the homeowner.
Yes.
It's self-fertile, mm-hmm. meaning that it has, it's monocecious, meaning it has both the male and the female on the same plant.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one, because it's self-fertilizing, self-fertile. If you have a small yard, and we'll get into some more that are, but if you have a small yard right. and you only have room for one tree, great tree to have.
Right.
And then you have the Moorpark, which is also,
yeah.
Now the Moorpark is stinking awesome because it's actually a wonderful Ozark apricot.
Yeah, I think that one was developed by the University of Arkansas.
Wow. Okay.
But both, and so the Moorpark might not be available in your area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wanted to talk about the Goldcott.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that one's a little more.
It's more widely available, sure. more well known.
Wow.
Yeah.
But both of those are self-pollinating. Now, anything that is self-pollinating, do you still recommend mm-hmm. having two, because you'll get far higher yield.
Exactly.
And then if you have a problem with one, the other one, you still have fruit on the other.
Very good point.
Yeah.
And that is very huge, especially when it comes to peach trees.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of the peach trees, most all the peach trees be self-fertile.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, you won't get enough peaches right home about. Unless you have another peach tree with it.
Yeah.
So even though they're self-fertile, I group our peach trees as far as timing is concerned. Mm-hmm. Meaning, they'll be all self-fertile, but like, we'll jump right into peach trees.
Let's do it.
Your Bella Georgia, the thing that determines peach trees and when it blooms and so forth is its chilling hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like your Bella Georgia will have, I think, around 500 chilling hours, okay? And that's an early bloomer.
Yes.
Your Alberta is an early bloomer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why your Alberta is a good pollinator of the Bella Georgia.
Yes, agreed.
Okay?
Yep.
And that's why here we always separate it. Like if someone comes in, they say they want three peach trees, okay? I would sell them the Bella Georgia, Alberta, and the Red Haven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay?
They get variety of life.
Because your Bella Georgia... All three are self-fertile, mm-hmm. and they'll fertilize each other. Your Alberta is in the middle. It's early and it's late.
Yes.
Okay, it has a long bloom time.
Okay.
Longer than your Bella Georgia, and it'll get into that season of the Red Haven. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
So yeah. It'll pollinate both. Now, you might wonder, well, why do you carry the Bella Georgia if it has 500 chilling hours and it blooms so early? See, bad thing about it blooming so early is that it'll get nipped by late frost.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you might say, well, why in Northwest Arkansas do you have the Bella Georgia? Well, we have the Bella Georgia because it tastes so doggone good.
Yes.
I mean,
Yep.
That's why they named
it. Nothing better.
They named a state after.
After the peach, yeah. Georgia.
That Bella, I mean, it's a freestone. White flesh is the juiciest, biggest. I mean, am I right?
It's totally worth having. So there is a risk in having the Bell of Georgia, because if we get a late frost, the flower falls. But the years, you know, maybe every other year that it doesn't,
right.
The fruit that you get on it, oh my goodness.
Well, this year's going to be a boomer crop.
I believe so. We had an early, nice, beautiful spring. Spring started pretty early mm-hmm. for us this year right. compared to the last couple of years.
And we didn't get a late frost.
Exactly. And so, Bell of Georgia, great year. If you have mm-hmm. a Bell of Georgia peach tree, mm-hmm. go you. Mm-hmm. And if you could also bring some peaches up here, we'd love you even more.
So, we mentioned the Alberta. Let's move on to the Alberta. That's mm-hmm. a very good homeowner tree.
Yeah.
Alberta, I think, takes a few more chilling hours. It's a little bit more hardy than your Bella Georgia every year, and it pollinates the Red Haven and the Bella Georgia.
Yeah.
It's also a freestone.
Yep.
The Loring is a good one. It's a self-fertile freestone.
Yeah.
It'll fertilize your Red Haven and your Alberta. Okay? It's not so hot on the Bella Georgia. Okay? And then your... One of my favorites is the Red Haven.
Yeah.
Because that's a later. It takes more chilling hours, something like 700, 750.
Yeah.
So reason why I force a Red Haven on people.
Because if you want fruit and you want it often.
Yes.
It'll produce far more often.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you might get burnt on the Bell of Georgia, but at least you have peaches on your Red Haven.
Well, and the same for the Reliance.
I agree.
If you're somebody that doesn't care about
the Bella Georgia, which I absolutely favor.
Right.
But if you don't care about the Bella Georgia, I would recommend, and you're needing two fruit trees, I would highly recommend the Reliance and the Early Red Haven, because those are two great Ozark peach trees. Mm-hmm. You'll see fruit off of just about every year.
I agree with that. Yeah. Yep. That's why it's called Reliance.
Oh, yeah. Reliable.
Let's talk about cherries. First of all, on cherries, the number one thing you got to remember, they don't like wet feet.
It's a big problem. Like we have clay everywhere.
Right. Here in northwest Arkansas, there's just no absolute way we can grow the Bing cherry. Bing cherry has never survived here. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
So we don't even carry that in our inventory. But if we're up there in Washington where it's real sandy loam, it'd do a lot better.
Yes.
But here, no.
Well, yeah, heat, humidity, and the clay just makes for a storm of it. So, yeah, we talked about this on show just a little while back from a question that came in. Yeah, and so planting your peach trees, we recommend elevating them a few inches above surface.
Have your root ball about 6 inches above the equator.
And build up over that root ball up to it like a nice mound. What I would also recommend using for it would be things like vermiculite or fine pine bark mulch like the Happy Grow.
Or coarse sand. They can use coarse sand, but it's a lot heavier.
Yeah. But you want to keep in mind, when you dig a hole and you're digging in clay, we use clay to line ponds. So if you've dug a hole and it's all clay lined, you've essentially got a small pond.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you don't want to be setting your fruit tree in that. So you want to elevate it up so water can settle still in that small pond.
Mm-hmm.
Water can settle still, and you have drainage to the side of your cherry trees.
And you have different categories of clay.
Correct.
If it's red, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Now, then you have gray clay, which gray clay you can make a ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you put clay in your hand. If you can make a ribbon between your forefinger, your pointer finger, and your thumb, then that's a determination of clay.
Sure.
Okay?
Okay.
Then you have your brown clay, which is workable. Mm-hmm. That's the best clay.
And mountain clay, which is like clay mixed with a lot of rock. But that still drains, and that's actually great.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's, like you said, there's three things you can do. Vermiculite, which is... we sell it here. Most nurseries will sell it. Coarse grade vermiculite, in my opinion, is the best to use. And this is before you plant, tilling that vermiculite, then sand, and then your compost.
And build up around those
trees. And then plant it. Have it the top of the root ball 6 inches above the grade of the existing soil.
Yeah, you're going to have some really jealous neighbors when you're out picking all your cherries on your trees.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, goodness. We've got some back there that are starting and getting cherries on them.
Okay. We'll get into that.
Oh, yeah.
let's talk about the black tartarian is a sweet, okay? It's a black cherry, but it's sweet, and it's also a good pollinator of like your Stella and Rainier.
Yeah.
Okay?
Definitely.
Which Rainier is, Rainier and North Star are my two favorite. North Star is my all-time favorite sour cherry.
It is so good. So it is a little sour, but it still has sweet to it. So it's like a sweet and tart cherry.
And we count on it. So we count on that every year.
Yes.
I mean, it produces like you wouldn't believe.
Every year.
Thank you.
Very easily.
So we have one of those planted in back.
Yep, North Star. Yeah, we do. Yes, we do.
And it is heavily loaded.
And we use the Royal Gold Grow on that while we plant it.
You're stinking right.
You're right.
That's one of
Yep, you're
Dude,
welcome.
Because that sucker's growing good.
Yeah, it is.
And if your butt's out there before mine, I'll be mad.
Yeah, I will be.
So your North Star is self-pollinating, okay? But there again, I would not leave it by its own. I would plant the black tartarian is, of all the cherry trees, black tartarian pollinates more than any other cherry tree.
Yeah.
I'll say that right now.
Yeah.
So I would never leave you can leave the North Star by itself, but if you want more cherries, plant a black tartarian around it, or the Rainier.
Rainier is a really good sweet one.
Now, that's my favorite sweet. Mm-hmm. Black tartarian will pollinate the Rainier.
Yes.
Okay? And then you have your Stella.
Stella.
Yeah. It's now, sweet.
As far as, because that's self-pollinating, your Stella.
Yes.
Your Stella and your North Star are great to have just about with most cherry trees. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In your black Tartarian.
Yeah.
I'd throw all those together. Those would be my three.
All three of them?
Yeah. If I was to do three cherries, it'd be the black Tartarian, North Star, Rainier, and Stella.
That's four.
I know.
I was counting in my head.
I can't handle it.
I thought, okay.
Play one of each, baby. I mean, come on, man. That's awesome.
Just go ahead and get all four
of them. Cherry trees are expensive in the grocery store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Plant all four of them. You want to talk about the crab apples? Okay, we got the crab apple that you can make jelly and jam out of.
Yes.
What's it called? I forgot.
Manchurian.
Oh yeah,
it?
Baby.
Is that
yeah.
what you call
Manchurian?
It? Manchurian.
Yeah.
Manchurian.
No, Manchurian.
I like that. You know, that one is a great one. A lot of people don't know that crab apples and even flowering crab apples can pollinate. Right. Fruit trees.
Yes, yes.
So even the ornamental crab apples will pollinate
apples.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't go too far on that because they'll also transfer disease, too. So
sure.
if you have a crab apple that's susceptible to cedar apple rust.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Or blight. So.
Yes.
I don't put too much on that right there.
Okay.
But yeah, that Manchurian. Did I say it right, Manchurian?
Yeah, that's like a good grandmother's crab apple.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, a lot different from the flowering or ornamental varieties because those just have these tiny little beads of fruit that aren't really edible. I mean, you could if you wanted to, but whatever. But the Manchurian, that one is going to be really good. People use it for jams, jellies. But it's a great, great canning apple.
Now, I would plant the Manchurian to pollinate certain apple trees. Let me back up a little bit. Because there's a big variety of crab apples. But if you like the big crab apple for canning and jams and stuff like that, Manchurian's a very good one.
Mm-hmm.
And it will pollinate like your Granny Smith and Fuji and one other I can't remember.
Gala. Yeah.
So it's good on that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say something else. Oh, we ought to mention how far apart
planting fruit trees.
Your fruit tree needs to be for pollination.
That's great. Now, most of our fruit trees, we try to get semi-dwarf.
Yes.
In my opinion, I think they produce better, and they're not putting as big branch structure out. They're not going to get 30 foot tall and be annoying or a nuisance.
The rule of thumb is the bigger the tree, the further apart it could be because of wind pollination.
Correct.
All right? So if you have standard apple trees, which are the biggest, you could put those 50 foot apart or more, 50 to 100 foot.
Yeah.
Because people don't know this, bees will travel about 50 miles a day. I mean, they're crazy.
Yeah. Flyers, okay? Yeah.
So you'll have bee pollination, wind pollination. So your standards can be 50 to 100 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
Your dwarf will be less than 50 foot, 20 foot apart.
Yeah, I even recommend 15 to 20 feet apart.
Semi-dwarf is somewhere in between there, 50 foot apart.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
That's the way it kind of works.
Yeah.
Rule of thumb.
If you're making an orchard and you're needing your trees closer because you're short on space, I recommend usually about 15 to 20 foot because most of your semi-dwarf trees are going to get 10 to 15 and sometimes 20 foot tall and wide, but usually 10 to 15.
And any homeowner doesn't want a 20-foot tree to harvest.
No, that's too much.
You're talking ladder now.
You're not getting a ladder. You're not getting a big pole out for that.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have fruit falling and rotten if you're getting a tree that big.
Exactly. So you'll crop it down. I crop ours down 10, 15 foot. Never over 15 foot.
Yeah.
So make sure it's part of your anger management program.
Yeah, to get out and chop those trees.
When you're real mad, you go out there and do it.
Nectarine.
Durban.
Yep.
Durban's a real good salt pollinator. That's the only one that you really need. Fantasia is another good one. But your Durban, in my opinion, is more disease resistant and hardier.
And red gold.
Okay,
red gold.
I throw that in
nectarine.
There, too.
That one's a great one. Great Ozark nectarine. Yeah.
Those three.
Check out.
And they're all self-fertile. They're perfect for the homeowner.
Yeah, and we can't grow nectarines here. It's going to be similar to I would say, almost like Bella Georgia or Alberta.
Yeah.
At some seasons. But it is such, they're so good. The red gold is one of my favorites.
Well, you got to explain something to me. How come people go for the peaches a lot more than nectarine?
A lot
I don't
of people,
understand that.
A lot of people don't really, because there is a
difference in taste,
right?
Of course. A lot of people aren't.
They don't like nectarines.
Well, for one, here's a common thing I run into day in and day out. A lot of people don't even know we could grow nectarines here. And so they don't even think about getting a nectarine tree.
We're in Zone 6A, and this used to be Orchard Capital.
Yeah, yeah. You can grow nectarines here. So it just, it's mostly picking the right nectarines. Durban or Red Gold, I would say, are the best for this area. Mm-hmm. Or Fantasia. That's a great one, too. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't know that you can grow nectarines here. And right. They're wonderful.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Pawpaw. I love that name, baby.
Another Pawpaw. Fruit that a lot of people don't know about.
Pawpaw is awesome. The fruit comes out, looks like a long banana. It's sweet. And the cool thing about pawpaw is it takes another pawpaw to pollinate that pawpaw.
They're basically unisex, aren't they?
Exactly. They're all from seed. Mm-hmm. There's no cutting of pawpaw. Right. They're all from seed, and it's like incest. They come from the same seed.
You could say something different. Hey, so pawpaw, change the subject. What about peaches? No.
You know?
Pawpaw, a lot of people don't know what a pawpaw is or have not had one. For one, because they have no shelf life. They have no shelf life. So it's straight something that tray. Straight off the tree, and you got to pick it, you got to eat it. Mm-hmm. Pawpaws are great, but they also grow native here in Arkansas and native in Missouri. And so they're a native tree. You can actually, if you're ever wondering and you've never seen one, you could come up here to the nursery or go to Osage Park.
Yeah, we grow some in the back here.
Yeah, so there's some beautiful ones. And
you
so,
know, they kind of look like the catalpa. They have
the big leaf. Yeah, but it's the leaf pyramidal. Is more like, yeah, like that. But oftentimes when I see these are growing along riverbanks. And what's happening is the pawpaw drops the fruit. The seed floats down the riverbank when it floods.
Oh, my word.
And it'll go and get buried. And then pawpaw trees will just start popping up all over the place. It's a common thing, yeah. But they do grow native here for sure, for certain, and also up in Missouri. Hmm. In Missouri, you could just walk down a riverbank and, oh, pawpaw trees. Now, they are considered an understory tree. So they're not going to do
they don't
best
get that
in
big.
Full, hot, western sun.
Yeah.
Kind of like a dogwood, it can handle some sun, but we recommend shade from the hot afternoon.
Okay. Cool.
Very important.
All right. Pawpaw, one of my favorites.
Hey, pawpaw.
Pears. I want to talk about pears now.
Okay.
Pears are a weird dip. Here, let me get this a little closer to me. Not like people want to hear me. Pears are a weird dude. They grow straight up,
mm-hmm.
and God intended for them to grow straight up. Then when it starts to get fruit, it comes on over, right?
Sure, yeah.
But if you get a good harvest, it'll bust that whole branch.
Break it, yeah.
Every year, you got to prune them suckers in half. Okay, so if you have a stem going up 12 foot, you better cut that at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we get a really good year, it's going to bust it up.
Yeah, you want to pay attention on pruning, like, you know,
I call it whacking.
Yes.
On pears, it's whack job.
Yeah, your pears are going to get larger than even semi-dwarf, larger right. than your apples or peaches, about, you know, 15 to 20 foot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference in that versus, you know, but they have a lot more rapid growth. Once right. you prune, I mean, you can get a shoot coming off, you know, 4 or 5 foot tall mm-hmm. in one growing season.
Yep.
And so pruning for sure on your pear trees. My personal favorite pear tree is the kefir.
Okay.
Did you know I was going to say that?
Yeah, I did.
It's disease resistant, blight resistant. It's a great Ozark pear. And it has an awesome shelf life. And it's self-pollinating, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You done?
Yes, I'm done.
It pollinates. All right. I'll give you this. The Bartlett pear is the best pollinator of them all.
Okay.
All right. All pears will be pollinated by the Bartlett.
Yes.
And then kefir is a close second. It'll pollinate all of them.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine, okay? But your Bartlett is the best pollinator. Now, the bad thing about the Bartlett, which I think Bartlett is probably the original American pear.
Typically, okay. when you go into the market and you find a pear, it's usually the Bartlett.
Right. But the Moonglow came out, which is more disease resistant than the Bartlett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the Moonglow is not as good as pollinator.
And I don't think it's as sweet as the Bartlett.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It still has a good sugar content, but the Bartlett, I think, is probably the sweetest, in my opinion.
Especially when it gets yellow.
I never pick
them till they're
yellow and soft. Yeah.
When they're starting to turn yellow, that's when you pick them. In the store, they pick them green and they let them, you know, through ethylene gas in their cargo.
Yeah.
That's when they ripen in the cargo ship.
Yeah.
But when you pick them right when they're starting to turn yellow, that's the best time.
If you start seeing pears fall off your tree, that's a great indicator that now's a great time. A lot of times I'm picking pears off of the ground and washing and eating those because they're just so sweet.
Okay. So we've talked about the air. All right, let's talk about the Ayers semi-dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
We sell the Ayers in the semi-dwarf rootstock. That will pollinate your Bartlett, Moonglow, Kiefer, and Orient, okay? Typically, your Orient, Kiefer, and Bartlett will pollinate all the other trees.
Yes.
The only one you have a problem with is the D'Anjou. Okay. That one hardly fertilizes anything.
It's a good red pear, but I would agree with you. It's not a great pollinator.
It's a selfish one.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So just remember the D'Anjou.
Red D'Anjou.
D'Anjou?
Yeah, Red D'Anjou.
Was it French?
We need to ask Rochelle how she would pronounce that.
Rochelle.
Yeah.
I miss her.
Me too.
All right, so there's your pears right there.
Yeah.
I want to talk pecans.
Pecans, however you say it. Let's talk about it.
The North grows pecans. We grow pecans. We grow pecans. They grow pecans. That's right. I want to get that straight.
It's all the same.
All right.
It's all the same. Tomato, tomato. I would never say tomato, but it's okay.
There you go. That's my point.
Okay, pecans. Wow.
That's the trickiest of them all.
I think they're super easy to grow
because they're
native. So, you know, it's just something that you can just grow and grow and grow and grow and hardly ever have any problems. Now, there are some problems that can come on those, you know.
You got to start off right the first time.
Exactly.
Okay? And we make you buy two, and it's not because we have a boat payment. Okay.
We have a boat payment, but it's not for that reason.
Not for the boat we have.
No.
15-footer flatbed.
A little bass boat.
It's a 15-foot flatbed.
Okay. It's a
one man.
It's a perch boat.
We power it with the 15 horsepower
Sunny trolling perch motor. Boat. That's funny.
Oh my word.
But they're super easy to grow.
Oh, yeah, pecans.
Once you get them planted and get them started off the right way, there's little to no maintenance that you're going to have to do on them.
Right. Okay, so you have type 1 and type 2.
Yes.
Okay.
Make sure, yeah.
Pecans are, once again, they're monoecious, meaning they have both male and female flowers on the same tree.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, once again, type 1, type 2 has more to do with some pecan trees. You have your catkins, which is the male flower, okay? The stamen, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Catkins. And then you have your female flower part, okay? So what you got to do, it's all about timing, okay? It's kind of like the guy being at the right restaurant to find a girlfriend. It's all about timing.
At the right time, right? Yes.
When you're looking for a woman, it's all about timing. Am I right, Jessica?
Yeah.
All right, so... So
I'll leave that alone.
The type one has to create the male flower at the same time that the type two is producing the female flower and vice versa. Cause, some will produce the male flowers first and then the female
and they'll
be far apart at times. Yes. Sometimes they're like this. Sometimes they're like this.
Man, we had this huge pecan tree in our front yard. Biggest pecan tree I have ever seen in my life.
Right.
Biggest one I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the trunk on it, I couldn't even reach my hands around a third of the trunk. I mean, just huge pecan tree. But it would drop. Right. Loads. So turns out, and we thought, what's going on? So it turns out we had some down the road.
Yeah.
And so the people, the locals that were there in the area,
they knew when to come and pick pecans. We'd see cars parking on the side of the road going picking pecans in the fields. Yeah.
So your type one will produce the male flowers first and the female later. Type two is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
They produce the female flowers first and the male later.
Wow.
Okay. That's where you match up.
Wow.
Okay.
It's good to know.
So that's why you have type one, type two, and it's all timing.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we've done was here at our nursery, and any nursery should do this, they should let you know which ones are type one and type two. Go ahead.
The varieties that we carry are also paper shell.
Good point.
Which is very important because it takes a lot to hull all of these pecans. Okay.
Right.
And so paper shell is going to break very easy for you, but it's also going to protect those pecans because pecans, once they're open, they can go rancid.
Yeah.
You know, so you can keep the shell on them. It's still thick enough to protect that. So it doesn't go rancid, but thin enough that you can easily crack those open and get into them without making it a big ordeal.
Best time to get them is when it busts on top of the tree. Okay, when that outer shell, busts out.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the ones that we grow here, even when you're getting type one, type two, you have to make sure that you get type ones and type twos that have the same timing. Does that make sense?
Okay.
LSU produced a really good chart, and you can look it up on the internet. They're like pecan capital guys. I mean, in all honesty, they got it down. LSU does. So the varieties that we carry here in our zone 6A in Northwest Arkansas is the Cato, Pawnee, Stewart, Choctaw, and Kansas.
Yeah.
The reason why we carry those five is because they jive with each other.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we do our research well before we order our pecan trees, or else you'll be screwed.
So here at our nursery, you don't have to worry so much about their time in as long as you have type one and type two.
Exactly.
Okay, brilliant.
And so what I'm about to say is more being too anal about it, okay? But that's just the way I am. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought that goes into ordering all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your Cato is a very good pollinator for your Stewart type two. Cato is a type one. Mm-hmm. It'll pollinate your Stewart and Choctaw.
Okay.
It's the best pollinator for your Stewart. Your Pawnee pollinates the Kansas really well, lines up really well with the Kansas.
Okay.
Okay. It'll also pollinate the Choctaw.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So your Stewart is a type two that will pollinate the Cato. So in all honesty, you can get a Stewart and a Cato and be done with it. Okay?
Yes.
Because the Cato is a type one, so its male flowers line up with the female flowers of the Kansas. Did I say it right? Stewart.
Okay.
Yeah, Stewart.
Yes.
And then when the Cato goes to the female flowers, the male flowers of the Stewart line up. Okay?
Wow.
So that is a very good match.
Yes.
Okay. Your Choctaw, it's a type two that'll pollinate the Cato. And your Kansas will pollinate the Pawnee and the Cato. So we have, any nursery should have that written down so that people can make wise decisions. Right?
Absolutely. Right. Persimmons.
Oh, last thing?
Go for it.
If you have pecan trees, make sure to use that Fertilome citrus fruit and nut.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Fruit, nut, and citrus.
Okay.
Yeah. Same thing.
Nut was in there somewhere. because it has at least 3% zinc. And that is extremely important for the health of a pecan tree because it has so that you don't get that Rosetta disease.
Okay.
Okay, and that will just screw your tree up royally.
Gotcha.
That fertilizer for pecans is extremely important. All my Louisiana friends come here every year to buy that for the pecan trees.
Wow.
Okay? I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Okay. Persimmons.
misunderstood fruit.
Yes, I would agree as well. Backdrop story, persimmons. I love when we have new employees and the persimmons go to fruit and before they're ripe.
Oh, because man, you haven't tasted, yeah, don't you? Yeah. You're evil.
It is evil.
All right.
persimmon before it's ripe will make you pucker, and it will steal all of the saliva that your body has.
You call that astringent.
Yes.
It is the term for it. In a native pecan, or reason why nursery sell a native pecan is...
Persimmon?
Persimmon. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is because those people that know... native pecan is cheaper than your fuyu, mm-hmm. okay? And its timing is perfect for deer hunters, okay?
Yes.
Deer hunters will plant a persimmon tree right below their stand, or smart ones.
Deer
love persimmon.
Oh, yes.
They love persimmon.
Uh-huh.
Secondly, people in the know when to harvest the fruit.
Yes.
Persimmon is actually very sweet when it's mushy.
Correct.
You got to eat it mushy, mm-hmm. and it makes a great jam. It is very sweet.
Persimmon, love persimmon. Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah.
If you eat it at the right time, it's very sweet.
It's got to be. Yeah. All right. It's got to be.
Now, your fuyu comes, I think, from China.
It's an Asian persimmon, yes.
All right. And it is, when it comes to the wintertime, in my opinion, it's not as hardy as a native persimmon. Mm-hmm. And so it needs to be more in a protective area, meaning I would not plant it in a valley to where it gets cold really bad during the wintertime.
Yeah.
So it will not handle the real cold, negative degree temperatures where the native persimmon will.
Yeah.
Now, people still buy them because they're sweet. They are not tart whatsoever. And you can plant those when they're ripe instead of letting them go mushy, and they're really good. What else about the fuyu? Not much.
I think that's it on the persimmon.
You can eat those when they're firm.
Now, your persimmon, you want to give room to grow because this does grow into a big size.
Right.
Kind of similar to shade tree size. And so, and more of an upright as well. Now,
native persimmon will drop its fruit right during deer season.
Yes. Yeah. Great. Plum. Plum is a great one because there's a few different varieties that especially grow well here.
Yeah.
But I would say that my favorite varieties, or our favorite varieties, I think you would agree with me, would be your Methley.
Yeah.
And your AU Rosa or Santa Rosa.
Yes. I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
AU Rosa, I think, is just a female. I don't understand. I don't know the difference between Santa Rosa and Avery Rosa. Do you?
I can't. I've never seen the difference. Never tasted the difference. I think it's the same fruit.
I think Rosa was developed by a man. The other ones.
Well, in fact, we've also gotten AU Rosas that had the tag of Santa Rosa on them before. So
okay.
I think they're the same. In my opinion.
Stamen Winesap.
Now your Santa. Now let me start with Methley. Methley, it can be some, but it really needs help. You really need a pollinator for your Methley.
They're both self-fertile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The nice thing is the Santa Rosa will fertilize. They'll fertilize each other. They're both self-fertile, but if you want enough plum to write home about, you plant two.
I would agree. You know, your Methley is a purple plum.
Yes.
And then your Santa Rosa or AU Rosa is red plum.
And Methley is sweet.
Yes.
And the Santa Rosa is more tart, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Highly recommend getting, I would just get the two of them and plant those about 15, 20 feet apart. You're going to have some really good plums.
Those are the two best, in our opinion, for our area, Zone 6A.
Definitely. And we've carried them for years, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Man, that about does it on all the fruit trees.
Yeah. So
I've been wanting to do this for a while because we get a lot of questions on fruit trees.
So many questions.
If you come up here, any nursery should have this too.
Mm-hmm.
A sheet on how to take care of your fruit trees.
And pollination.
Yes. So we'll have a pollination chart up here.
Yeah.
And we'll also have a sheet on that you take home with you on how to take care of your fruit tree.
And we educate our employees here. And I think that's very important because when you come up here and you come shopping, we don't want you to leave with a fruit tree that, again, you wait 6-7 years and you never get to see any fruit off of it.
Educated customer is a good customer.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we educate our people to educate you. And so, hey, this was such a great show.
Right.
I think this was very important because, like you said, this is a common question we get all of the time.
And, you know, if we missed something or if you think think that we said something incorrect,
put it in the comments.
Put it in the comments.
Please, yeah, absolutely.
We are not God of fruits.
Oh, no. Oh, no kidding.
I'm not the fruit God.
Nope, never
would
be.
I'm just a nut on a tree.
Awesome. Well, hey, this has been a really great show. Thank you so much for talking and listening with us. We really look forward to talking to you. If you have gardening questions, go to YouTube and leave comments down below. Mm-hmm. You can also go to rockwellfarmsnursery.com and email us with questions that you have about gardening, fruit trees, whatever you have in mind that has to do with outdoors. We'd love to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that it?
Well,
where can people reach us? Like Pandora and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us on Pandora, Spotify, anywhere that you can find a podcast, you can find us.
That's right. Hey, y'all, thank you for joining us, and we hope that we cleared up a lot of the mud. And, yeah, we appreciate you.
Talk to you next time.